Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Lisa Roth on behalf of the Department of Social and Health Services. This is a case about...
Do you reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. 2 minutes. Thank you for asking. This is a case about ensuring the rights of vulnerable adults to receive dignified and competent care that supports and improves their quality of life and promotes their well-being. This is a case in which the department took appropriate enforcement action to revoke the license of an adult family home that failed to provide appropriate care and services to two of its residents, that humiliated and reprimanded its clients, and who failed and jeopardized the safety of its clients. The department respectfully requests that this court affirm the decision of the review judge that revoked the provider's adult family home license based on several violations.
What is the standard of review that we apply to the trial court decision here? Looking at the Tapper case and everything else, we go back to the final decision in the administrative process, but here the department's appealing from a trial court decision, so I'm trying to figure out what standard of review to that.
Your Honor, the case law indicates that actually what is the subject of review is the final order, not the superior court decision. And so in the standard of review would be the same standard of review that applies to superior courts. So for findings of fact, it's factual evidence, it's substantial evidence. For conclusions of law, it's de novo. And then obviously for arbitrary and capricious, it's the same standard. The department contends there is substantial evidence to support the finding that Ms. Gligor failed to properly discharge the resident named Richard and failed to ensure that he be discharged in an orderly way. The department also contends there's substantial evidence to support the finding that Ms. Gligor had notice, proper notice of the allegation that she failed to provide appropriate care and services in part by failing to protect Yetta from the actions of Richard. The department's remedy and revocation in this matter was appropriate, and the department contends that if the court were only to consider the four violations that were affirmed by the superior court, that there is a basis for revocation. And that
it gets back to my initial question. If we only limit it to what superior court does, yet we're reviewing the administrative decision, that's just what I'm struggling with. Why would we, I mean, in some sense, we could just ignore what the trial court did and go back and look at the final administrative decision.
And that's what we're asking the court to do. I think the case law is clear that what this court should focus on is whether or not to affirm the final order that was made by the review judge. And that final order was reversed in just a few parts by the superior court.
And there's a lot of discussion in that final order about a decision out of our court a while back saying that limiting what an administrative law judge can do in terms of the remedy. But for us, the standard of review would be de novo as to the appropriateness of the remedy, right? Because that would be the decision of the final judge that heard the case.
The de novo review standard would apply to the conclusions of law. And the review standard for arbitrary and capricious findings is whether or not this court would find that the department's discretionary decision, or ultimately in this case the review judge's decision, was arbitrary and capricious.
And what is to be, in a sense of full disclosure, what I'm struggling with here is the focus of the department's actions and the findings of the administrative law judge, and again, meaning no disrespect to Ms. Gligor, was that Ms. Gligor herself didn't handle this appropriately, and yet the remedy was to move them into another house where Ms. Gligor is managing and controlling that house. And so I'm struggling how that is not arbitrary and capricious.
Understood.
And just being really honest, that's my take on this.
And so one important consideration, Your Honor, would be that these licenses are attached to facilities, not individuals. So this is a case where the license was attached to this particular facility, Evergreen Seasons. The relocation of residents from Evergreen Seasons to Ms. Gligor's other licensed adult family home was not allowed by or decided by the department. Those placement decisions are made by guardians and personal representatives or residents themselves if they're able to make decisions. The department can't prevent relocations unless there's a factual or legal basis to prevent it.
Sure, they could move to another home, but there is this WAC, which is cited in the brief 388-7610. 985 sub 2, which says, if violations in an adult family home are of such a nature as to present a serious risk or harm to residents of other homes operated by the same provider, the department may impose remedies on those other homes. And I get that there were no people living in those other homes, but in fact, not only did the residents move over there, the dog went with them. The dog that bit the resident, and it was just all, like, physically moved to another location. I'm just really struggling with how that is not arbitrary and capricious.
And the fact that there was a relocation to this other home, the department would have had to have done an investigation, would have had to find, pursuant to that investigation, that there was a serious risk of harm. In this case, the two residents were Douglas and Yetta. In the second home, based on violations in the first home, they would have had to do a complete investigation and take a proper enforcement action. There's no evidence in the record about any of that. That second home was not the subject of this enforcement action. So for the court to rely on this subsequent events of moving to another home when the department had no factual legal basis, based on the record, to prevent it, would not be appropriate. It would.
But if she's such a danger to the residents in the home that she operates, that you have to revoke her license, why is it, if she moves those same residents to another home, why isn't that just exactly the same circumstance as she just left? And why doesn't that provision that Judge Turkey just referred to give DSHS the authority to impose a sanction on that home as well?
Well, to address the second part of your question, the department would have had to do an investigation on the second home and take enforcement action against it.
That's not how I read that. It says violations in adult home are such a nature in one home are of such a nature as to present a serious risk of harm to residents of other homes operated by the same provider. The department may impose remedies on those other homes.
Correct. So the department would have had to have taken enforcement action in that case, in this case, imposed a stop placement on the second home to prevent the transfer. The department there has to be enforcement action because that license was clean. The second home had no enforcement action, no stop placement, so anybody could move there at any time. The department could not prevent it unless it imposed a stop placement on that second license. And certainly there is evidence in the record that would indicate that the department should have looked at that. But that doesn't change the serious violations that occurred in the first home. It's not only that Ms. Gligor lacked understanding and emotional stability. It was the other violations, failure to provide care and services, failure to update negotiated care plans, failure to protect the residents from an unsuitable dog, and to take steps.
Were there other remedies available to the department other than revoking her license?
The testimony that was presented indicated that other remedies were looked at. There were conditions that could be imposed on a license. There are fines, stop placement, and also there's summary suspension, which is the most severe remedy that would have put her out of business immediately.
And was there testimony about why those remedies? No.
Tom. Yeah. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honor. Judge Spearman, Judge Trickey, Judge Verlin. May I please the court and may you find resonance with my oral argument. I have two master's degrees in education and teaching. I taught public school, so my voice is a little bit louder than normal, both in Europe and here, Washington State, in Bellevue, Seattle, Mercerana area. And I have opened my adult family home as I fell in love with the residents while helping other providers to do the paperwork. So I opened my house and to make it more like homey, caring for people. As my licensor stated in the documents that Marianne, she brought light to the picture. Marianne is caring, well-educated, and she means so good for the people. The only problem is that sometimes I care too much. And that's why I am here today, Your Honor. I have been a certified nursing assistant for about 15 years, working in nursing home assisted livings, teaching public schools. I never, ever had a character assassination and professional suitability case in my life. as I am a believer, and I believe in people, and I believe in helping people. What happened was the investigator came to the house after Valerie, the daughter of Resident Richard, called the state infuriated. She fell in love with my male caregiver, and she would come every day and talk to him for hours until I couldn't stand any longer to see her talking to the male caregiver, and I would ask her, what do you talk about? So we talk about that scare, okay? So after months of endurance, I let the male go, the male caregiver go. She was infuriated. She says, I'm going to call the state of you, and I make sure you lose this license. I will make sure. So she called Ms. Frost. Ms. Frost came with a preconceived mind and looked at all small details and made sure all the six WACs were violated. So she had the reason to go and get her license. Well, as the opposing counsel brought these things up, they are without merit. The resident, Richard Giacomi, per Valerie at the administrative law hearing, was dismissed by her and her free will. So there is no point in talking and getting 30 days written notice. It's out of the picture. Another question was, when the administrative law hearing, she judged on a new allegation that was not even in the original allegations of the department. This itself violates the Constitution of the great United States. I am accused, I have the right to know what I am accused for, and I have the right to defend myself. I was taken this privilege. The license revocation is nothing but hate and jealousy of a couple of three women that came with a pact against me to cut my license off after my hard work, working for 10 years without vacation and trying to do my best to help this resident. Richard Giacomi was a pain, after all. This resident was left alone in my care. The daughter would turn off the telephone in the nighttime when he would call to talk to them. Said, it's your problem. Take care of that. I'm going to call the state of you if you don't take care. Then the doctor knew. I called the doctor. I have 25 pages that the opposing counsel know. Fax, medication, calling the doctor, going with him to the doctor's appointment. Okay, so the bottom line is, Your Honor, justice shall prevail. You have to look at my picture. I am a clean, first-class professional, and for the past 5 years, I have been under tons of stress and humility, and everybody was called. Everybody was checking me out. Checking me out for? What for? I came to the United States with the help of Dr. Kissinger to the President Reagan administration because I did not stand for the Romanian government. And it is a miracle to be here. And today, justice shall prevail. You should look at the entire picture. If Valerie Larson was so far to tell Ms. Frost in the discovery, Ms. Gligor is bipolar. She is war. She is hostile. We don't know what she is. And this was enough stress for Ms. Frost to come and everything what she looked at, she looked under magnified, small details, magnified them to make a big picture that I am incapable to take care of two residents. I am emotionally unstable. I am mentally unstable. I don't provide great care, which I do provide. I have the RN, the RN who was there, Bonnie Sykes. She states that Mariana does great care. The doctor, three doctors, it's in my brief, three doctors. Dr. Rapoport says, I do excellent care with very challenging mental health and dementia residents. And all the doctor says, no, she is great. The RN, Valerie Hudson, she says, no, Mariana is caring. She is great. My licensor, Ms. Sylvester, says, no, Mariana, I know her for 11 years. The only worry moving for residents from one home to another, my licensor says, is that we want to go and make sure that The residents are good, taken care of. The dog was okay with the Shih Tzu and Yorkie, a very small puppy dog. And I got the dog because resident Yetta wanted the dog. So I got it for resident Yetta. What the dog did, he scratched her foot because she stepped on his toy. That's it. And then I took her to the doctor. I called the POA. I called the state. And then the doctor says, well, it's nothing. Take her home. So then we had her foot under daily, almost every other day. The case manager, Ms. Bonnie Sykes, would come, check the foot. She was the case manager for Yetta Brenner. So practically what we are here for, it's a revenge of one woman that blew the case from a fly. She made an elephant coming against a first-class citizen and professional like myself, and you can check and you can ask anyone else. This cannot stand. I am asking you today to uphold, please, Your Honor, the same judgment that the Superior Court, His Honor Judge Rogers, upheld, that the license revocations was nothing but arbitrary, capricious, was practically unconstitutional per WAC, per RCW 3405570, unconstitutional, arbitrary, capricious. The agency has erroneously interpreted and applied the law, and this cannot stand. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. If I could try to further address your last question with respect to the alternate remedies that are available. In this case, the department did not believe that any other remedy short of revocation was appropriate. This is a case with egregious violations where there was a resident, Richard, who was wandering at night, was anxious, was upset, could not sleep. The provider let her other caregiver go in December of 2009. There was no evidence that she replaced him. This resident needed a nighttime caregiver. He was confused. He'd get up to go to the bathroom. He could never make his way back to his room. It was a simple solution to address this resident's problem, and this caregiver seemed to not be insightful enough to recognize that. Instead, she just continued to try to address it with medication. She stated to Liz Frost that the only way she can deal with Richard is to over-medicate him. This is a significant violation. Then there's by the provider's own statements on February 2nd, nearly 2 months before he was discharged, the provider says she found him naked in another resident, a female resident's bed. She doesn't report this to the case manager for Richard. She doesn't address that issue. She doesn't look for additional services. She doesn't contact the doctor when she purports that he had become sexually inappropriate, if not aggressive, asking for sex from her and another resident. She doesn't take any appropriate steps that a reasonable provider should and be required to take. And as a result, Richard's behavior has escalated, worsened, and she dealt with him and the other resident Yetta by humiliating and reprimanding them and treating them like children, showing total disrespect. Now going back to the issues that Your Honor raised about, and I think probably this question is in all of your minds, is whether the relocation of the residents. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.